Archie LaRose, the, let's see, what's his title? Tribal Chairman, yeah. He spoke for a little bit, and so did Ribs, one of the council members. And what they basically said is, you know, they don't really exactly believe exactly what we do. Neither did Nebuchadnezzar, did he? But Nebuchadnezzar said, I want to serve your God. And what he said is, I'm allowing you to come on our grounds, and 60 radical people from the cities, and another 100 to 200 people were there all weekend just worshiping and praising and setting a soil for the future. I'm not just a little bit excited about what God is doing in this area. Let me share something that happened to me a couple months ago, and I bounced it off your pastor, and everybody's all over in Israel, where I go to church. Pastor Jan, she's in Haiti. They just got back. They were in Haiti this last 2 weeks. Israel, and all over the place. Three, four, 5 weeks ago, God put something on my heart, and since then I've gone to about 10 pastors. I'm anticipating going to about 15 or 20 more. That at Easter time next year, the Wednesday before Easter, to fill up the event center with a unity service with about 20 or 30 churches, native, Protestant, and Catholic. I don't know if you know, recently, right in the Chi Alpha college meetings, we have a Catholic priest that has come and spoke. He's allowed us to come into his Newman Center right on campus, and God is doing, he's born again and spirit-filled. Father Craig. God is doing an amazing thing in this city. Listen to me. God is doing an amazing thing in this city. And you guys have been a part of it, and I want you to come back. You got to come back to see what's going to happen. But anyway, put that in mind. Put it on prayer, because I'm 80-20 right now. I literally got to give about 6 months of my life, probably, if I want to do this thing right at the event center a year from now. And I'm seeing a couple thousand people from about 20 or 30 churches just saying, we are one because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and all the people said. Well, just stand up with me a minute. Hold up your Bible. Say, this is the Bible. This is the Word of God. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart so that I do not sin against God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'll just take it. You can close your eyes. And as you're about ready to sit, and you know, I'm not going to take too long this morning, but I'm going to have you play that. This is a song of repentance. This happened between the tribal tribal leader last night stood up and he said, I ask forgiveness to the white people. Just incredible. So you can sit down, you can kneel, you can do whatever you want to. Stand up. A little more volume. I repent the idols I've accepted, the commandments I've rejected, to pursue my selfish gain. Lord, I know, though your love is in me, it doesn't always win me when competing with my sin. I repent, making no excuses. I repent, no one else to blame. And I return
to fall in love with Jesus. Fall down on my knees. And I repent. I repent the idols I've accepted, the commandments I've rejected, to pursue my selfish end. Lord, I know I need you to revive me, put selfishness behind me, and take up your cross again. Lord Jesus, I repent, making no excuses. I repent, no one else to blame. I repent to fall in love with Jesus. Fall down on my knees. I repent. Fall in love with Jesus. Fall down on my knees. I repent. I repent. I repent. God, I repent for the generational curses. I repent for sins that keep on coming up. I repent for laziness, God. I repent for prayerlessness. God, I repent in Jesus' name that there's things every day I forget. I repent, Lord God, for not listening to your voice. Because when I listen to your voice, I go the right direction. So Heavenly Father, in this next 30, 45 minutes, God, I ask you to change my life as we reflect on your word. As we go to your word and we want change to happen in our lives right now. God, in the name of Jesus. Those of you that can, why don't you pray in the Spirit with me for just a minute. Amen. You may be seated. Wow, I'm excited. I'm in the strangest season of my life. I've been in full-time ministry for 30 years, or I was before about 3 years ago, and then all of a sudden he's having me do all these different things. I was driving 2 years ago to Grand Forks every weekend, preaching in a little church there. Oh, the time that we had. It was about 20 or 30 people in this little church. God has the most amazing ways of dealing with you and you and you. Don't try to figure it out. And I'm wondering if the reason that I'm in the marketplace, some of you probably see me driving the city bus around and I just, you know, leading worship and preaching and doing this and that. One of my favorite topics I'm going to try to share with you here in the next little while, but I don't usually bring this out. I know Pastor Steve. I know him in my heart. And I know he gives you meat. So I figured I could bring out a little bit of meat this morning. I don't know Pastor Rocky quite as much, but I know he's an awesome man of God. You have the most incredible thing going here. Keep it going. Keep on praying. Anyway, I love Pastor Steve and Candy so much. We are such dear friends to us. And I feel honored that they let me have this mic. I think I will just keep this mic here. I don't know what I... This thing is going to bug me anyway by the time. Get out of my pocket. I want to lay a platform here. You folks from right here, over there, are going to do me a favor this morning. You're going to be a part of my message. And I'm going to teach you a scripture. And you're going to be a team. And then you guys are going to be my choir this morning. Got it? Don't tell me you can't sing, because I can hear you right from behind me. And some of these guys did a great job leading worship this weekend. Awesome. Awesome. And we have a walrus right over here. Hallelujah. We're going to start with Psalm 24, verse 7. And you can go there if you want, but you can just look at me and we're going to memorize this verse together. We're going to lay a foundation. And where I'm going this morning is obtaining divine nature through conflict. Oh, say hallelujah! Or through relationships, whatever word you want to use. Through marriage. Obtaining divine nature. And I got some awesome scriptures that besides memorizing, but I want to lay a foundation first. Psalm 24, and I want all of you, you're going to be quoting this for me several times. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Now stay with me. Not you. You can't have this one here. No, you can't, but this is yours. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. One more time. Be lifted up, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Now, I'm not going to take a long time on this, but listen very carefully. What is a gate in comparison to a door? Well, you have a door to your bathroom, and only one person at a time usually goes in there, or your front door. But a gate is something, like the gates of heaven, is something that the masses go in. Everybody say, a gate? The masses go in. So what is God talking about thousands and thousands of years ago from King David? Watch. He's talking about your eyes and your ear gate and your mouth gate. And if you have a big nose, your nose gate. But we'll leave the nose gate out at this point. Everybody say, eye gate, ear gate, mouth. And again, we could spend the whole time on this, but think about it. Everything that you see was created with the words of God's incredible mouth. And again, if you listen to Copeland and Hagen, if you choose Copeland and Hagen, God has a plan for you in your life. And trust me, young lady, what's your name? Yeah, you. You have beautiful eyes. Ira? Kyra. Everything will take place through your eyes, your ear gate, and your mouth gate. That will be your life. And the Bible says it thousands of years ago. You can't look down.
You can't be in the grass. You can't be in depression. You have to look up, lift it up, oh you gates. You can't get in darkness with your eyes and your ears and your mouth, or you will be in trouble. Now look at the second part. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors. Well, how come the first part wasn't everlasting? Well, it ends up everlasting, but you see, God chose that the door to your heart would be everlasting. Woo! And that the born-again experience would come when you confess with your mouth and you believe from the door of your heart, and you shall be saved. For it is with the man, with the mouth. Man believes unto righteousness, and with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and the mouth gate confession is made unto salvation. Let me hear this verse all by yourself. Be lifted up, ye gates, lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Woo! Who is this King of Glory? That pursues me with His love. I love that verse. And again, if you study into Hebrew history, they say that what they used to do is, like at the pulpit, say, who is the King of Glory? Well, the Lord is the King of Glory, strong and mighty. If you look through the rest of that chapter, we're just focusing on verse 7 today. One more time. Be lifted up, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Woo! Now that's the foundation. 1, 2, 3. Woo! They're much better over here. Sorry. All right. Here's your assignment right here. This is Psalm, what is yours? Psalm 24:7. Yours is Psalm 57:7. You don't have to turn there. Just look at me. You ready? My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. Yes! I will sing praises. All right? You guys want that one, don't you? You guys, it's all yours. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. No, actually, there's 11 of you, and Judith ain't here no more. Isn't that right? The 11 disciples. We got to get another one sometime. Here, are you ready? My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. That was terrible. You ready? My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. All together, ready? My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. Yes, I will sing praises. I'm going to have to be number 12 with you guys. You're not in sync very well. Let's try one more time. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. Yes, I will sing praises. Now, I didn't say you guys could say that. All right. Psalm 24:7. O ye gates, be lifted up, you everlasting door, and the King of Glory. That was okay. Ready? You can go by my translation. I probably said two different things, huh? Okay. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. Yes, I will sing praises. Woo! You guys want one too? Yours is a song. And I tell you what, when I was sitting there, I feel like one of you worship leaders is going to remember this. It's Isaiah 64:8. You don't have to turn there either, but I want you to remember the scripture. Isaiah 64:8. You ready?
And it goes like this. Oh, Lord, you are my Father. I am the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hand. Yes, we are the work of your hand. Come on, everybody try. Oh, Lord, you are my Father. I'm the clay. I am the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hand. Yes, we are the work of your hand. One more time. Oh, Lord, you are my Father. I am the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hand. Come here. Quick! I'm running out of time here. Ready?
Oh, you are my Father.
I'm the clay.
I'm the clay. Okay.
I don't know the lyrics.
Oh, yes, you do.
Say, oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You are my Father.
I'm the clay.
I am the clay.
You are the potter.
You are the potter.
No. No, no, no. You are the potter. And we are the work of your hands. Yes, we are the work of your...
No, all by yourself. I need your help. Okay?
No, you don't. Go.
Oh, Lord. You are my Father. I am the clay. You are potter. We are the works of your hand. Oh, Lord, you are the Father, and I am the clay, and you are the potter, and I am the works of your hand. Okay.
We are,
okay.
Yes, we are
the works of your hand.
Give him a hand, yes. All right. Be lifted up, O ye gates, be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? He is the Lord, mighty and strong. You keep reading that scripture, it's awesome. All right? You ready? Because my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. Yes. I will sing praises and oh, we are the work. Yes, good job. All right, we'll get back to that after a bit. But there's our foundation. We are saved, we are steadfast, and we are always aware that we are created by God, and we are the clay. He can mold us. He can do anything He wants with us. Sometimes my wife has looked at me over 30 years and said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Where are we going?" I said, "I don't know. I don't care." Because we're in His hands. He's got a plan. So this divine nature, it's a door. It's a door of intimacy. And it happens. You see, everybody can go into this gate of salvation
But the door is determined when you go into that time with your Father. The door is determined when you either have bitterness, which springs up according to Hebrews 12:15 and defiles many, or you forgive, and what happens? The kingdom of God comes your way. Again, we could spend hours and hours on this, but I'll just give you a few things. Let's do a couple scriptures. I'm not going to take... Give me 15, 20 more minutes here. Colossians chapter 1. And I'm reading 19 through 22. For it pleased the Father that all the fullness that in Him, who's Him? Capital H, Him, who is that? Who is that? Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. That in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Him, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Now we could spend a half hour on that, but I want to go to the second part of this paragraph here. And you, turn to your neighbor and say, you. That's powerful. When you read this Bible, He is talking to you. He is talking to the one who has eye gate, ear gate, mouth gate, and who has a door gate. Not just a door. An intimacy between you and Him. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He reconciled, all the people said. And all the people said, in the body of His flesh through death, hallelujah, to present you holy, He presents you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you! Holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. Woo! Some people got it over here. I love it. Yes. That's a great language, isn't it? Ready? Woo! It's just universal. Me. You say, but you don't understand. I grew up in church, and I was a Christian when I came out of the womb. You understand? And I haven't ever smoked or chewed or went with girls that do or anything. Can I tell you something? You're the worst. Because you're just like me. I was that person. I grew up in a pastor's house. And I found out that religion, and again, I could stand here for hours and tell you stories on how God taught me, and He taught me that I'm a murderer, that I'm an adulterer. He taught me that it's my nature. I just hadn't followed through with any of those things. I was a good person. I went in a closet when I was in fifth grade, and I swore a couple of times to see what it sounded like. I felt so terrible when I went out of there. I wore hangers and coats on the inside of there. They had to be defiled by those words. But God gave me an incredible revelation one day of how religion kills me worse than a murderer on death row. That I wake up in the morning and I have this pious thing that I don't have to open my door and let the King of Glory come in each and every day. You see, it's like your bad breath. Sin comes back in the morning. Thoughts come back in the morning into your eye gate, into your ear gate, into your mouth gate. You have a choice each and every day. And all the people said, It's the truth. So I'll try to paraphrase this quick story. I was speaking at a camp, and on the flyer, I saw that I was speaking with a guy named Bear Morgan out of Dallas, Texas, and he had committed murder. And God would, by the time this week was up, do an incredible work on the inside of me. The second day, I was sitting on the second row and listening to this man, and in my heart, at one of my gates, I forget, I said, God, I really shouldn't be here with this guy. I mean, I haven't committed no murder. I mean, we're kind of, we don't relate to each other. I mean, what's the deal? And an open vision came before my eyes. And the cross, the three crosses were up there, and I looked up and almost began to weep because I saw the cross in the middle with Jesus hanging there for my sin. And I think there's a reason I'm sharing this, because this is at the heart of your divine nature. If you think that you're good in any kind, any way, or if you look at someone and judge, folks, if you have a prejudice, kill it. Because it is not from God. And again, that's the beauty of last weekend when red and yellow, black and white, and just, oh, the deep hatred that is towards the natives in this land, towards us and us and them, the thing, and we don't even understand it. I know we don't understand it. But you see, God is breaking down those walls. And so then I looked over on one side of the cross, and there stood him, the guy who had murdered. Leather, tattoos, and that's what he wore. His face was all scarred up, and he had tattoos from one end to the other, and you know the earrings. You know what the guy looks like. And you know, understand, I was a youth pastor my whole life. I saw everything pierced from head to toe. And I'm not saying that I don't understand. I'm saying God wanted to come to another level in my heart that I truly was not delivered from a religious spirit. And so he was hanging there on the cross, and I said, Then I looked on the other side, and with horror, it was me! In a suit tie, and I don't even like suits. I had a beautiful tie on, and a three-piece suit, and the shiny shoes, and the whole nine yards. And I go, what in the world am I doing up there, God? This ain't right. And then, you know how, you ever done a sin before? You ever kind of locked into it? You're locked into it, and you're ready. You know, well, let me just say this in my notes. Darkness hides. Light reveals. Say it with me. Darkness hides. Light reveals. Whew. So if you ever face somebody like a figure of authority, and you buck, you know, you're like a stallion, untrained. What's going on? You want to go to the darkness. You want to go to a place where you're safe. What is sin? Safe. What is a cigarette? Safe. I'm trying to hide something. I want not to judge anybody, nobody, no how. No. You judge you first. Always. So what I'm talking about is getting caught in the sin. And there I was. And I was sitting there going, petrified, and going, God, what are you doing this to me for? And I'm going, I shouldn't be up there. Don't you know I didn't swear until I was in this grade and it was in my closet. It was, you have to understand, I'm a good guy. And it got worse. I don't know how many of you clearly read through that entire act on the cross and the three individuals. I turned over and I said, Jesus, get us down from here. Don't you see me? Don't you understand? Save me and yourself.
And the Bible says he was blaspheming. You read it. Don't have time to go there. I knew the scriptures well. I know the scriptures well. And Jesus said, when you judge and when you carry on your religious spirit, you are blaspheming me. The Holy Spirit that lives in you, you don't take one more second of your life and judge anybody. And again, understand, I was a youth pastor. I had a revelation, but not this deeper revelation. And then the most horrible thing took place. My mouth was shut. And this man in the tattoos, pierced ears, pierced everything, looked over and said, an incredibly religious and complicated statement, "Remember me." And Jesus, with compassion, took the religious man with me. And he looked at the man who was broken, who grew up a dog in his own house. Rape and incest, murder, that's all he knew how to do. And he said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Where did that leave me? It left me 15 years later, 10 or whatever it was, going, "I ain't judging nobody again. Ever. Because I understand. Jesus, I understand. I thank you, Jesus, that I'm alienated. I was once alienated in darkness with my wicked works, but now I am reconciled." Woo! Through his death, and made blameless and above reproach in his sight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. I'll tell you what the problem is. It's us, quote-unquote, religious people that ignore God's holy word. Love you, Bob. Have a great day. And what is this holy word? "Lift up, you gates. Oh, be lifted up, you everlasting door. And the King of glory shall come in." Woo! Woo! And everybody can say it. "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. Yes, I will sing praises. I will." And, "Oh, Lord, you are my Father. I am the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hands. Yes, we are the work of your hands." Woo! Thank you, Lord. Woo! I love it. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I had a second scripture here. It's about all you can do is about two scriptures in this church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 4:8. Now, something you can't ever leave out when you're thinking about his divine nature is love. And again, we could spend hours and hours and hours on all this stuff, and I'm giving you bullet points. First, let's do 2 Peter 1:4, which is kind of a foundational that I left a little ways back here. "By which we have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine
nature. Say it with me. Partakers of the divine nature. Say it again. Partakers of the divine nature. So he's saying it is possible that his divine nature would be in... Well, why do you... What's the conflict thing all about? When you wake up in the morning, unless you're on a stranded island in the Himalayas someplace, you have people that you have to deal with, a boss or a wife, a spouse. And those people are the ones that are going to prove to you whether or not you have the divine nature wrapped on the inside of you. Conflict, you know, how in the world does a caterpillar become a butterfly? Through conflict. First of all, he has to be ridiculed for how many months as he walked around as an ugly worm. You are ugly! But he says, I am a caterpillar. And my destiny is an incredible, majestic butterfly. And I am going to one day be flying with the divine nature of Almighty God. You might be white. You might be a monarch butterfly. You might be a moth with multicolors. I don't know what God makes you. You might be red or yellow, black and white. You never know, but your precious in His sight. God has a powerful purpose and plan for you. And conflict is the answer. It's what's going to happen. So, in order for you to get out of your worm state of sin, everybody say, I have to die. Say, I have to die. Woo! I have to die. Yeah! I'm telling you what, dying is the greatest revelation you could ever get. Dying to yourself. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Not necessarily Jesus, not necessarily the Father. The ministry of the Holy Spirit will teach you how to die. He'll teach you how to die. And then you go to sleep. You get in a metamorphosis state, a transformation process through your eye gate, your ear gate, your mouth gate, and you can't get your gates down in the dirt. You can't get them in darkness. You can't get them in despair, in disgust, in depression, in debt. You have to lift them up, oh, you gates. Be lifted up. Come on! Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. And every single day you need to, your heart must be steadfast, oh God. My heart is steadfast. Yes, I will sing praises. Woo! Woo! What? Oh, Lord. You are my Father, I am the clay, you are the Father, you are the work of your hands. Yes, we are the work of your... Everybody, oh Lord, you are my Father, I am the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hand. Are the work of your... Hallelujah! Okay, for the meat of the sermon, let me give you a few more things. First Peter 4:8. Above all things, love. For love, say with me, covers a multitude of sins. What is it covering? I got rid of drugs 30 years ago, and I got rid of cigarettes 10 years ago, and I got rid of whatever.
oh, I still have my wife. I still have my children. I still have conflict at work. There's still stuff going on each and every day. And His divine nature will cause you that your eye gaze, ear gaze, nose gaze, mouth gaze will begin to function properly and be full of Him in the way in whatever you're doing. See, it's repenting. When you allow the right things into your ear gate, eye gate, mouth gate, then the King of Glory will be so free to come in to the door of your heart, your spirit. Proverbs 4:24. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Oh, we could do this memory stuff all day long, couldn't we? Hallelujah. Couple more things, and then we'll wrap up here. Oh, we could go on forever here. Let's see. Talk quickly about light and darkness again. Hang with me, and I'm just about done. If you're a brilliant, analytical person. Yeah, we don't have that problem, do we? Hallelujah! Let me tell you what darkness is in the kingdom. It's concepts. It's a religious mandate. It's being oppressed and depressed and not dealing face to face. Because darkness hides, light reveals. Stay with me. Darkness hides, light reveals. If you're dealing with somebody, deal with it. Straight on, look at it in the face. If it's sin, look at it in the face. In my earlier years preaching to teenagers, I have parents come to me and say, you talk about negative things too many times. I say, listen, if I was going against the Green Bay Packers, I said, I would need to know exactly what they look like. They're the enemy. And I said, that's what I'm doing. I'm defining who the enemy is very clearly. And I've done it for many, many years. And you see, it helps you mature. You have to know what they look like. Dark concepts. Light conflict. If I figure it out, if I have this, if I have it worked out just right, then God's going to do the miracle. No. No. If you allow God to work, it's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. You catching what I'm saying? Religion to hide. To get into seclusion. To put on a mask. Relationship. Press in. And let righteousness, peace, and joy do their thing. Speaking of righteousness, peace, and joy, let's see if I have that thought here. Righteousness. Self-conflict. Peace. Others' conflict. Joy. Life conflict. That's what it is. If you want the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy, you face the joy of the Lord is, come on, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You say, well, why did this thing happen? Why did this tragedy happen? Why is this person sick? Why cancer? Why? No, don't say why. Just wake up in the morning and allow your spirit the door to open and His glory to come in, and you will change the circumstances. God's Spirit will be on the inside of you to change things.
And it has been given unto you divine nature. I'm a partaker of His divine nature. Lift up, you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. One more time. Lift up, you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? You read the rest of it. It's awesome. Mighty and strong. He is the Lord Almighty. He rides on the wings of the wind. He created the whole universe. He's the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He's got the character that is so awesome. God is bread, and He is life, and He is light. He's a healer. He's a teacher. He's a giver. He's a forgiver. He knows you by name. He gives sight to the blind. He's an intercessor. He's a door. He's a good shepherd. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, riding on a donkey's colt. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, John 13, washing the disciples' feet. He's the way and the truth and the life. He is the vine, John 15, and we are the branches. He's the intercessor. He's the giver of the Holy Spirit, John 16. John 17, He's the suffering Savior. John 18, He's the lifted up Savior. John 19, He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who conquered death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. That's who we serve. So, my heart is steadfast. Oh God, my heart is steadfast. Come on, say with me. My heart is steadfast. Oh God, my heart is steadfast. Yes, I will sing praises. Say with me. Oh Lord, You are my Father. I am the clay. You are the potter, we are the work of Your hands. Yes, we are the work of Your hands. Yes, we are the work of Your hands. That's Isaiah 64:8, and Isaiah 57:7. Excuse me, Psalm 57:7 and Psalm 24:7. Let's pray. I want to do this very quickly, and I know time is flew down and everybody's belly is grumbling, and I have a question for this, you people right here. And I have a question for anybody else in this. And I just want you to respond to this very quickly if, when I say it, it strikes you in the heart. And I know a few people over here will stand. The Lord asked me just to ask the question, who in here is passionate for Asia? And my question for you is, how many of you have a deep desire to go back, you know, in the near future, in the near future, stand up. If you don't desire to go back, just stay sitting. Anybody else have just Asia on your heart? I thought maybe there was one people that just, you know, usually it's Africa and India and South America and whatever. Anybody? Not necessarily. It's probably one of the other intercessors in that. Or, oh, you have some beautiful people in this church. I have an incredible privilege of visiting different churches, and wow, God is putting together a team. So here, I just want to impart this that I felt the Lord told me. I'm not even sure if it's not possible that God would call me to go with you back there. Because it was so strong when I was sitting there. And I've been to India 3 times and Africa 3 times. And it just does something to you. And again, that's why all our friends are out of the country. But listen to me. When you wake up in the morning and into your ear gate and eye gate and mouth gate, and you get yourself renewed as you pray, God is going to allow you back. Some of you, it's 2 years. Some of you, it's 5. And some of you, it'll be 10 years before you get to go back. But you're going to be totally ready when that happens. And there's going to be an anointing that comes from you, and you just don't. But what I wanted to speak to you is an assurance that day is coming, and you're going to get to go back. Do you hear me? And again, we could do an altar call and all the different things, but what's most important is that you prophesy. And God will lay that incredible carpet out for you to go, number one. And number two, He'll give you the mission. And no doubt there's family, direct family. There's family that maybe abandoned you. There's people you need to forgive. And this morning and this day, you live in the King of Glory's light, and don't run towards darkness anymore. Don't let dark hide. Let light reveal in the name of Jesus, because you are the clay and He is the potter and you are the work of His hands. I know you'll never forget that. God gave me that little song, I know, one time many years ago, and it's just powerful. It just rises up on the inside, that little song. And so instead of you find out that prophecy is one of the most precious things to me, but what I find out that it's overdone. You see, the most powerful prophecy for you, I'm just telling you, you're going. I know it, I see it, and I saw just a handful of you standing. But don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. The worm has turned into a butterfly, and you're going to soar. Woo! In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Don't give up. You hear me? Hallelujah. See, Lavataka. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, why don't you grab somebody's hand that you're going to be in conflict with right next to you. Paul, go find somebody. Go find. Come up here then. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll be your partner right here. Si salada maso koto. Why don't you just pray this prayer with me? Oh, Lord, I am the clay. You are the potter. I sanctify the gateway of my eyes. As Job said, I will let no evil thing come before my eyes. As Job said, let no evil thing come before my eyes. The eyes are the gateway to my heart. In Jesus' name, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. God, I speak over my ears. Say, God, ears, come in line with the Word of God. let me hear. Only what you want me to hear. Then I will speak out of my mouth gate. And Lord God, protect my heart. I keep it with all diligence. For out of it will flow the issues of life. In Jesus' name, I desire your divine nature. I want you in me. Let them see Jesus. Hallelujah. Just before I go, Kathy and John, if you'll help me, I'd like to give all you Hmong folks and all of you people, visitors, one of my books. Just go ahead and start with it. If you guys want to help, it's right. They're just sitting right there. Anybody else wants one? They're back there. I love you. If you need any prayer, I'll be here. You're just going to pray for the food and head down? Or I would be happy to. Lord, out of our mouth gate is going to come some food. I mean into. And God, I ask you to bless. Thank you for everyone that prepared it. God, just do your work on the inside of us. Let us go out here and be changed into your nature. Thank you for this food. Bless it to our body in Jesus' name. And all the people said, ready? Woo! One more time. Woo! All right.